Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in Marion County and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA KRLS. And now with today's In-Depth, here is Dr. Bob Leonard.
What's happening with the renewable fuel standard and tariffs? Let's go in-depth with Governor Kim Reynolds.
Hi, Bob.
Hi, Governor. How are you this morning?
I'm good. How about you?
I'm great. You want to just get started?
Sure. Thank you for the opportunity. I appreciate it.
Well, yeah, these are some tough times for Iowa. We're all waiting in anticipation of what's going to happen with the renewable fuel standard, the tariffs. Would you sort of fill us in on what your administration is doing to make things better for Iowans, Iowa farmers?
Well, first of all, I continue to fight every single day for farmers and rural Iowa and our economy. And just yesterday, I was in Michigan testifying before the EPA on the importance of a robust renewable fuel standard to the state and to our farmers and communities and really for the country. I had an opportunity to talk about, the volumes that they sent. They appear to be positive, especially for conventional biofuels like corn ethanol. That's set at 15 billion gallons. And then we saw an increase in cellulosic and biodiesel. Just the total advanced levels are proposed to increase. The problem is the EPA has continued to grant small refinery waivers, and they've not reallocated those volumes. And what that's doing is really undercutting the intent of the renewable fuel standard, and it almost wipes out the proposed increases. And so I yesterday said that we need to have correcting the small refinery exemption excesses. That is not right now. It needs to be part of the final rule. So this is kind of technical, but basically my message to them was 15 billion gallons means 15 billion gallons, and they can't undercut that by coming in and issuing waivers and not following the intent of the law, which has been a pattern with EPA, especially. I mean, it started with the Obama administration when they wouldn't even set the numbers for a couple years, and that had a devastating impact on really moving the renewable fuel standard as well as driving next generation. The other couple areas that I had an opportunity to highlight yesterday was it's time to get E15 and higher blends done. The president has told not only Iowans and farmers, but me on multiple occasions that he supports E15 year-round. The former head of the EPA, Pruitt, said publicly that he has the authority to do it. So it's time to act. They need to move on it. They need to get it done. That would have an immediate impact on the price of corn and on the market and start to bring some stability to a very volatile market right now. And so that also, they need to initiate the rulemaking that would allow E15 blends and higher year-round. And so called on them to do that and then to follow through with the there was a D.C. court ruling in July of 2007 that said the EPA had acted wrongly and that they need to stop ignoring the court and restore the 500 million gallons that was that they had not done. And so that was an opportunity for me to testify on behalf of really the importance of a robust renewable fuel standard. When it comes to trade, I continue to meet with farmers and really hear their concerns, and those concerns are starting to escalate. They are, of course, with me, too. There's really, two things that are really true when it comes to trade. And first of all, trade is absolutely critical for Iowa, and that's one of the reasons that I've worked really hard to expand markets. I've led trade missions around the world since 2011. It's about relationships and about looking for opportunities to not only maintain existing markets, but to grow new markets as well. I've gone to Washington to set in multiple meetings to defend free and fair trade fought to, really talk to this administration about modernizing NAFTA and not repealing it. But, we need to see some movement and get something done. And number two, it's just a given that trade is critical for Iowa. Number two is that, China has been sticking it to us for years. They're a really bad actor. Farmers know that. They bring that up when I meet with them. It's a fact. They've stole seed right out of the ground of Iowa, and they were caught on that so that they could reverse engineer it and take our technology. We can't have intellectual property theft and tech transfer be a cost of doing business in China. You know, they're stopping our containers that come into the port when they decide to. And so, you know, while no one wins in a trade war, and I'm continually fighting for free trade, we do need to hold China accountable. We need to make sure it's free and fair trade. But it certainly, it can't be on the backs of our farmers. And that's a message I deliver every time I get in front of Vice President Pence, the president, or any of the members, whether it's Purdue or Wheeler or whoever I'm talking to. So we need to see some movement, and we need to see some movement now, especially, you know, I said when I talked to Pence last week, especially as we roll into August and the first part of September, that's when notes are due, lease agreements, decisions need to be made. They need to empty out the beans, and we're going into a new harvest. So we need to start to figure out a way to bring a little bit of certainty to a very volatile market.
More in depth after this.
I continued my conversation with Governor Kim Reynolds. Well, I suspect that Pence, being former governor of Indiana, knows all about these concerns, but do you think President Trump has any clue about, oh, the importance of agriculture and how it works, and how the international markets are all intertwined, and what the weather in Argentina impacts Iowa farmers? Do you think he understands the nuances?
Well, you know, they're trying, you know, we've got to get something done. I've said that. Nobody wins in a trade war. We all, you know, they have opened up the market to Argentina for pork. That had been closed for 12 years. They have been able to renegotiate COREs. And so now it's important that, you know, we get something done with NAFTA. You know, move on that. Make E15 and higher blends available year-round, and then focus with our allies on China. So, you know, those are some things that, you know, that's a path. That's some things that we can work on. You know, he surrounded himself with people that understand. The ambassador to China happens to be the former governor of Iowa. And certainly as a governor, I know he knows how important trade is. 1 in 5 jobs are attributed to our ability to trade. You know, we export our products all over the world. 1 in 3 rows of soybeans are, you know, headed to China. And so he understands how important it is. The Secretary of Agriculture, Sonny Perdue, was a former governor and farmer. So he understands the importance of trade and the impact on states in this country. But we do have to make sure that it's free and fair trade. And so I'm hoping, you know, that we can get something done sooner rather than later, and we need to see some movement, and that's a message that we continue to deliver. And, you know, our farmers on their behalf, and that's why, you know, we're going to continue to meet with them and see, you know, see where they're at. But they have been, in my conversations with them, they have been willing to, you know, give this president a chance to negotiate to see if we can, you know, have free and fair trade. But I am saying, and they are saying, the longer this goes on, it's going to be harder to do that. Purdue has talked about, you know, finding some way to, you know, help he refers to our farmers as patriots, and finding some way in the short term to help with some of the losses. And, you know, we appreciate that, but I made it clear at the last time I was in Washington, D.C., that, you know, our farmers aren't looking for a handout. They're looking for market access. They're going to do what they do, and that's produce, you know, and we're really known for our brand. And so that's what they want, is just access to markets. But if we need to do something in the interim until we can get that done, I'd be anxious to see what that looks like.
How long do you think that we have that, you know, that with the markets gone, it would seem that it would be hard to establish those relationships again the longer time passes? Is that a concern?
Well, you know, that's why it's been important that I've led a trade mission since 2011 every year, because it's important to, you know, if we're talking about China, right now, and really globally, it's a global economy, but, you know, the two largest economies in the world, they need us and we need them. And so they can't produce enough to, they don't have arable land and they can't produce enough to take care of their people. And so they need our soybeans, they need our pork. And, you know, Brazil only has so much capacity right now. At some point, they're not going to be able to provide them the beans that they need. And so, you know, that'll be hopefully an opportunity, could be an opportunity, it will be for the United States and for Iowa farmers. So, again, it's probably, you know, I'm going to get bumpy before it gets better with China, but we need to, when I talked to Pence last week, he said they'd had significant progress with NAFTA. You know, I take him at his word. I hope that's the case. And just reiterated again the timeline that we're looking at. But I'm not afraid to stand up to the president if, you know, I feel like I have with renewable fuel and E15. We need to get something done now. You said that, you know, you stand behind it. You support ethanol. Well, this is an area that you need to follow through on. But regardless of who's in the administration, I mean, I fought against the Obama administration when it came to waters of the U.S. That was overreaching regulations that would have just had a devastating impact to farmers. Or I've stood up to President Trump, you know, if it meant fighting for a robust renewable fuel standard or saying that we need to get something done now sooner rather than later. We understand, you know, you're fighting on our behalf, but the longer this goes on, it's going to have a devastating impact on our farmers and our economy, and it's been, you know, a fragile ag economy with depressed commodity prices. So we also need to be proactive and look for new markets as well, and I know they're doing that as well.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation with Governor Kim Reynolds.
It seems that some of the rhetoric regarding NAFTA has to change. I mean, it's got such a negative play from both parties during the presidential race, but every farmer I talk to and every manufacturer that I talk to talks about the importance of NAFTA, as you just have. And so does NAFTA have to be, I don't know, does there need to be some kind of a PR reboot of our trade relationships so that people see that they are valuable?
Well, and sometimes, you know, I don't know if we know what's going on behind the scene with the conversations. I mean, there's a lot of people working on it. There's just a lot of rhetoric on everything today, which is unfortunate because I don't think that that's helpful. I think, you know, we need to, you know, figure out ways to come together and to, you know, move the ball forward. That's why I've never supported repealing or stepping away from NAFTA. It's a 25-year trade agreement or what close to that. And so I believe that, you know, there is a way that we can modernize it and to benefit, you know, America. And so, but that's always been my position when it came to NAFTA. And I've made that very, very clear anytime I've had the opportunity to talk to this administration and just encourage them to, you know, get something done. The unfortunate thing is when it comes to agriculture, you know, we're at a trade surplus. We're at a trade surplus with China when it comes to agriculture. We're at a trade surplus when it comes to agriculture with Mexico and China. And so it's hard when we're working for free trade and we're doing the negotiations. We have a disproportional impact because of, you know, how important ag is to the state of Iowa and manufacturing, you know, as well. It's also with NAFTA. Had a significant impact. So so we're hopeful that, you know, Vice President Pence is, you know, optimistic that they've seen progress in getting something done.
Any good news to share with us today?
Oh, well, yeah, there's a lot of positive things happening in this state. You know, our economy is growing, incomes are rising. You know, so we still have a lot of positive things. That was, you know, when we talk about helping Iowans and especially rural farmers, you know, that's one of the reasons that we cut taxes this last legislative session because it was important that we pass on those savings and help Iowans and farm families and small businesses keep more of their hard-earned money. And if we hadn't done that, they would have seen their taxes go up. And that's the last thing that, you know, they need right now. So I'm really proud of the fact that we were able to really pass a bill this last legislative session that will help Iowans keep more of their money. It will pass on the 179 savings as well, and that was really important to small businesses and farmers as well. The other thing that I heard from farm families and small businesses was just the high cost of health insurance, and they could not afford, because they didn't qualify for the premium with the Obamacare, which was a 57% increase. It was having a direct impact on them. They were having to either borrow money, they were paying more for health insurance than their mortgage, or they were going without. And so we were able to pass a couple of health care options that will help provide them with, hopefully, will provide them with affordable health care options. So that's something we were able to do on their behalf as well, and was proud that we were able to get that done. Another thing that we're working on is I just announced yesterday that my executive order number 3, which is the governor's Empower Rural Iowa initiative. You know, the heart and soul and spirit of Iowa, I think, will always be in our small towns and rural communities. It's part of me, and it's what this entire state is made of. I've always said we're one big small town, and there are a lot of really positive things happening throughout the state, a lot of success stories, but there's still a lot of work to do. And so the initiative will really preserve and revitalize rural Iowa. We've got 3 task forces. We're partnering with the Iowa Rural Development Council, which has laid a great foundation, and we're really going to focus on investing in rural Iowa, growing rural Iowa, and connecting rural Iowa. So we want to make sure that, you know, all communities, we're unleashing opportunities in every corner of the state, that we're growing the next generation of leaders, and that, you know, that's really important. The communities that are doing well, they have a strong leadership component. And we know that broadband connectivity, if we're going to keep our young people in rural Iowa, be able to use the technology that's available today, we need to be able to connect, and they need to have the bandwidth in order to do that. So I'm really excited about the opportunities there. The other thing I just want to talk about is, you know, as I travel and I'm all over the state and I talk to business owners and job creators, and I always ask, how is business? And without fail, they have said business has never been better. They are projecting growth. They are projecting significant growth. And then they do follow up with, I need workers. And that's the biggest barrier right now we have to continued economic growth in this state. And so I was proud to pass Future Ready Iowa, which is a jobs and opportunity act for Iowans. And it passed unanimously in the House and the Senate, every single legislature, which I think is a positive thing in today's political environment. And it really will work with not only older, you know, adults to help reskill them and help get them matched up with the careers that are available today. And then it really works with our young people to help them see that there are many paths to a great career in the state of Iowa. So I'm excited about that. And, you know, we were named the number one state in the country. And you don't just get named the number one state in the country by U.S. News and World Report if you're not doing some things right. So I think that's a reflection of our people, our work ethic, our values, and really people that are, you know, Iowans that are making a difference in communities all across the state, and certainly see that on my travels as well. So we're monitoring this trade very, very carefully, because we know down the road that could impact, but we are working on that, and in the meantime, we're reducing taxes and regulations and helping Iowans get the skills so that they can have a great career and have that career here in Iowa.
Thanks to Governor Reynolds for contributing to the program. For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
In-Depth is available for podcast in the radio audio media player on KNIAKRLS.com. You'll find additional information, pictures, and more, or subscribe to the In-Depth podcast and never miss an episode. If you have local topics you'd like to hear on In-Depth, send an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's news and local information is KNIAKRLS and KNIAKRLS.com.